This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning and welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanesan with Noel Lim and Khoo Sichuang in the studio this morning. And I nearly said I'm Noel Lim there. I'm being serious. In about 15 minutes, we'll be speaking to Dr. Hu Chiu-Ping, senior lecturer at the National University of Malaysia, about North Korea's succession crisis. I think there are a lot of reports that have come about. We're going to speak to her to get some clarity there. We've also got a poll running on Twitter right now. Do you agree with the government's decision to allow some sectors to ramp up to full capacity? Right now, we've got about 170 votes, 50% saying no, or just above 50%, actually, 50.6, 38.1 saying yes, they agree with it, 6% saying they don't know, and about 5.5% saying they don't care. And quite a few comments coming in, quite a lot, some saying that it's about time that we had some businesses ramp up, we need it for the economy, some saying that they hope that there are SOPs and in place, because a bit of concerns over that some may not have SOPs in place. So quite a wide variety of insights there. Speaking of insights, let's talk about markets, though. Chuang, what is the Bloomberg telling us about the markets that are currently open?
Well, Japan. Japan, Korea, and Australia are usually open in this time. In Japan, the Nikkei is at 19,771 points, down a tad by 0.06%. The Korean Kospi is at 1,944 points, up by a half percentage point. And in Australia, the S&P ASX is at 5,328 points, up by 0.3%.
And Noah, how are the US markets doing?
The Dow closed down 0.1%, S&P 500 down 0.5%, NASDAQ down 1.4%.
Now, I may be mistaken here, but I think this is the first red we've seen in US markets in quite a few days. It'd be interesting to see why that's the case. And for more insight here, we speak to Jack Cousy, Director for Strategy at BFS Group down in Australia. Jack, are you there on the line with us?
I am. Thank you very much for having me.
All right. Great to have you on the show as always. Now, Jack, can we get some expectations for large cap earnings coming up this week, including Berkshire Hathaway, which is this weekend?
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting week. I mean, I think we're going to talk about Google a little bit later, but I'm expecting Microsoft to do well. I'm expecting Amazon, which is obviously doing bumper trade, to do well. In terms of Berkshire specifically, I mean, in general, they tend to be an investment company, and it wasn't a great late February or March for markets in general. So I do expect to see them having quite a big hit. Now, whether the market's going to react to that or not, the market's trying to see through this and look forward. In terms of the large big cap earnings, the only one that really worries me is possibly Apple. I mean, I'm expecting some big hits on their biggest sell, which is their iPhone. You've got to think that the orders have been down, and whether there's pent-up demand in this environment for what is an expensive phone will come through. But in terms of the large cap, I think you'll see some possibly good earnings. The question is, can we take anything out of earnings? You know, we're factoring in January, February, which were generally good months for the US economy, and then obviously, you know, the biggest news stories that we have, and the fact that no one's guiding forward. So you take them with a bit of grain of salt at this point in time. But I don't expect anything out of the ordinary from the big large cap stocks because they're so well diversified and have so many fingers and so many pies.
Right, Jack. So as we saw Alphabet release earnings earlier today, overnight in the US, what were your impressions of them? Some are calling it a tale of two quarters, really.
Yeah, I go back to that. What does the first quarter really mean? And on top of that, in general, what does the first quarter really mean with no guidance? I think this could be the end of guidance forever. I mean, if companies don't guide now, why should they guide in the future? It was a fairly good quarter. You know, they beat on revenue, 41.16. I thought interesting the cloud revenue, which has seen another big jump. You know, they're aggressively going into that market. The question is, what will advertising look at? When we look at Google, it's essentially an advertising company. I just take something like an Expedia, who usually spends about $5 billion a year on ads. They're talking about spending only $1 billion this year. So I really think we're going to see true guidance or true numbers out of these companies when we look at their second quarter earnings. It's just very hard to look through what's happened in the last quarter, only because it only factors in a month of really the COVID crisis. So I take it with a grain of salt, but nonetheless, still a good quarter from a great company who has, you know, businesses all over the place and all across the globe.
Impressions of European banks so far, HSBC, UBS, in terms of loan loss provisioning and defaults expectations further into 2020?
Yeah, it's a good question. So when you compare them to their US counterparts, they look quite cheap. they're trading at book values we haven't seen since, you know, 2012, which was the height of the European banking crisis. In general, guys, this is just another bad grade on the European card. You know, Europe essentially is a basket case. Its economies are in a basket. I mean, they're a basket case coming into COVID. Who knows what they're going to look like going out of COVID? You've got to think a lot of these banks are going to continue to keep higher provisions, and they're going to write up some really bad loans in an economy in general that is struggling. It's just, you know, when I look at Europe in general, this is just another bad mark on a region of the world that's really falling behind and is not somewhere where I look for in terms of investing going forward. I think what we will see in terms of European banks is this will be an excuse for Lagarde, who I'm a big fan of, the head of the ECB and other authorities there, to try to put some of these banks together, merge them, put them together, get some stronger bank balance sheets. I mean, they tried to do it with Deutsche and Commerzbank early in Germany. I think this will be a big excuse for them to push these banks together, consolidate them and get some better balance sheets. What I will say about European banks, when you compare them to the US banks, yeah, they started to clear up their balance sheets in 12, 13, 14, but not as much as the US banks. They went under some really considerable restructure, so they're in a lot much better position than their European counterparts, and I think they reflect better value than their European counterparts going forward. But, you know, just another tale in the European saga going forward, really.
Okay, well, Jack, still on banks, and as an avowed Sinophile yourself, I'm sure you've seen China's, the banks, the decision among them to maintain dividend payouts. Obviously, this comes at a time when the American and European counterparts are slashing or stopping such payments. Do you agree with it? I mean, what are your first impressions?
Well, it's just another sign from China saying, hey, we're better than you. Yeah, that's how I take it. I mean, there was an interesting article printed in CNBC about, you know, tech standards. I believe, and I may be incorrect, that is a sign from above. I mean, it's a directive from higher powers, Chinese Politburo and above, to say, look, let's maintain some dividends. The reason I believe that is China is like anyone else. They have investors, they have retirees, they have pensioners who rely on income. And like any other economy in the world, they are trying to shore up their financial markets as well as their economy. And this is another step in doing that. So that's what I believe. I mean, they were historically really good dividends when you're talking about, you know, the top four banks in China, which are the four largest banks in terms of Tier 1 capital across the globe. So I think you see that that's a, you know, maybe a tip on the back from higher power to say, let's maintain this. Let's provide some assurity for our investors and our pensioners and our retirees, which is a big gap, and let's give we're better than you to the rest of the world again.
Speaking about banks and down Australia, National Australia Bank is raising capital to shore up its balance sheet after announcing a 50% cut in its first half earnings due to impaired loans. What's your outlook for the other big three banks?
Yeah, I like them. I actually like Aussie banks in terms of where they're trading in terms of value and price to book compared to the rest of the world. I mean, we saw this playbook out of Aussie banks during the global financial crisis. They raised money to shore up, you know, just capital provisions, and they came out of it stronger. We have a little bit of a different situation down here. We really have only four top four banks. We control essentially 80 to 85% of the market. In the GFC, we didn't have any issues with our banks. I don't believe we're going to have any issues in terms of their capital provisions. This is just another sign of the banks, you know, who have a lot of investors who are retirees and pensioners who will take up these share offers because they rely on the dividends. It's just another reason for them to shore up capital at cheap rates. In terms of our Australian banks, I've been buying some of them because I just believe they provide considerable value when you compare them across the world. And when we go back in history, you know, they were good buys around these areas. So I really like them going forward.
All right, Jack, as always, a pleasure speaking to you this morning. That was Jack Cousy, Director for Strategy at VFS Group. And really just highlighting, we just took a global trip around the world to different banks, really. And I always find it entertaining when he calls Europe a basket case. And that point about the mergers between the big European banks, Lagarde being able to use this as something to bring them together, that is something I'm paying attention to.
Yeah, I wanted to ask him, but then we got caught up in the whole bank sector. I mean, there's a lot of distressed lenders in Europe, right? Deutsche is in trouble. UniCredit is in trouble. HSBC is in trouble. StanChart is in trouble. I mean, just StanChart and HSBC alone, and their exposures to Hin Leong Trading out of Singapore. HSBC set aside, what, $3.5 billion in impairments potentially. 600 million of that is to Hin Leong alone, and Stanchart is the other one, right? So I don't know. How are they going to merge these lenders, and with what kind of regulatory mechanisms? Open the question.
And you can bet that we'll be paying attention to all of that going forward. Right now, we're going into a few messages, and when we come back, a look at North Korea and its potential succession crisis. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.